We thank you because indeed our chains are gone, our debt is paid. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did on the cross of Calvary. Because through you, we have redemption from our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. We thank you because your word says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away and all things are become new. We thank you for the newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. We do not take this for granted, O God. We say, Lord, accept our thanks, accept our praises in Jesus' name. As we go into your word, Spirit of God, we ask that you teach us yourself. A word for every man, a word for every woman, a word in season, in the mighty name of Jesus. That, Lord, the unfolding of your word, the entrance of your word, will give life and it will give understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was a bit concerned during the corporate prayers. I suspect it might have been Eri's voice. We were having a corporate prayer session, and this little child's voice I could hear. And I wondered whether we were praying. We thank God for the UK. You know, the UK is, we're very gentle, very... What's the word? It's not posh. It's no. There's something about the UK that makes us very calm, quiet, conserved, reserved. When we pray like gentlemen. When we worship, we worship like gentlemen and ladies. We don't, you know. Sometimes let's let loose. Let's let loose. I'm sure if someone says you should now start praying about all the, well, if we ask you to pray about, you know, success and how God is going to promote you and make things happen for you, I'm sure you'll open your mouth and pray. But sometimes I even wonder about us. God will help us in Jesus' name. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Where prayers can never be too much. And really, you cannot pray too much for yourself. You really can't. We're in a time, we're in a season that I think more than ever, we need to pray. More than ever, we need to get close to God. More than ever, we need to, you know, let loose in God's presence. And I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Can we open our Bibles to John chapter 4? John chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. And I read from verse 7. John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4, from verse 7. Verses 7 to 10. John 4, 7. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said, to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Praise the Lord. I'll take that verse 10 again. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Praise the Lord. This, I'll encourage us all to go back and read this chapter, the whole of this chapter. One of the things I love about the story, we all know about the psycho ministry, as they called it, you know, the evangelism, one-to-one evangelism. And we talk about one-to-one evangelism in the context of the interaction between Jesus Christ and this Samaritan woman. It's worth looking into, but the context of what I want to share with us today is not so much about their dialogue. Verse 10, it says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and would have given you living water. For about a couple of weeks now, there's a phrase that for whatever reason, could be the Holy Spirit that has been laying it on my heart, just keeps coming to mind. And it is the gift that keeps giving. The gift that keeps giving. Now, that phrase, when they use that phrase, normally it could be in a positive sense and it could be in a negative sense. So when you think about a gift that keeps giving, is from the positive and you're talking about a gift, it could be a present that you receive. But the value of that present is not a one-off. You continue to enjoy the benefits of the gift. So not a box of chocolate. If you get a box of chocolate, you're going to finish it and it's gone. But you think about a gift that keeps on giving, that you continue to enjoy the benefit even after, long after you've received it. Does that make sense? And then, so that's on a positive side. But also, Urban dictionaries talk about the gift that keep on giving from a negative side. So I'll give you an example. STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. They say they're gifts that keep on giving. Because some of these STDs are incurable. You've got it, it keeps giving. And it is a gift in a negative sense because someone gave you. So it's a gift in a negative sense because you contracted it from someone, but you've contracted it and it's possible to transmit it and keep passing it on. So in a sense, it's a gift that keeps giving, which is sad. HIV. AIDS, a gift that keeps giving in a negative sense. But if we look at Jesus Christ is a gift, is the gift that keeps on giving. Praise the Lord. I'm briefly going to talk about five things that Jesus Christ gives us. Gifts that we have. Now, it's looking at Jesus Christ first and foremost as Jesus Christ himself is a gift. And in verse 10, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, who he's saying to you. So that recognition that Jesus Christ is the gift of God. Praise the Lord. Now, what are the things that Jesus Christ has given us that we enjoy and will continue to enjoy? Five things. One, eternal life. Two, rest. Three, peace. Four, authority. Five, wisdom and understanding. Eternal life, rest, peace, authority, wisdom and understanding. Amongst many others, Jesus Christ has the gift that keeps on giving. The gift that keeps giving. We all know John 3:16. Says God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life, but have eternal life. Romans 8:32 says that God did not spare his son, but he delivered him up for us all. So God gave a gift. That much we know. He did not spare his son. Interesting, during Sunday school, we're talking about how Jesus Christ gave himself up for his church. So God gave up his son as a gift to mankind, even whilst we were sinners. Even when we did not know him, he decided, you know, I need someone to change, to turn the tide, to draw people that were estranged to me, to draw them back to me. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He gave us through, the Bible says, whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. That is the gift God gave us. Now you ask yourself, what did Jesus Christ say to this woman? In John 4:14, it says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become to him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So life everlasting. Jesus Christ said, that is what I'm given. God did his part. God gave the gift. Now, that gift that he gave us is Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in a couple of weeks' time, it's going to be Easter. Praise the Lord. I love Easter. I don't know. You know, when you ask it, I always say this. In Christmas, I'll say I love Christmas. Because without Christmas, there will be no Easter. And then at Easter, I said, I love Easter because without Easter, Christmas would have been irrelevant. You see that? If Christ did not die and rise again, we wouldn't be here. If he did not die and rise again, then his birth would not have had any implication for us. You know, he had a chance in the garden. Bearing in mind that it was all man and it was all God. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, if it were possible, let this cup, you know, pass me by. And that what that says to me is that at that point in time, you know, the Bible says it was praying with agony. At that point in time, if it were possible, that's, you know what? I don't want to go through this pain. And that is where we all have a choice. Jesus Christ had a choice. He had a choice to say, you know what? Nada, I'm not going through this. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. So he submitted to the will of the Father. And that is why we're here today. That's why we can call ourselves believers. That is why we have eternal life through him. Because he gave up himself to die for us, to redeem us from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord. So one of the gifts that is given us, which is a continual gift, which will not cease, is eternal life. So we have life both here on earth, but we have life in eternity. Praise the Lord. It says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. We are children of God by virtue of having received Jesus Christ. Amen. The second thing that Jesus Christ gives is rest. Praise the Lord. Matthew 11:28. We all know it. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he gives rest. The 29th verse says that, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Praise the Lord. Take my yoke upon you. Interestingly, it says, learn from me. So if you want to enjoy the rest of the Lord, you need to learn from him. He said that he will give you rest, no qualms. Come to me. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you're stressed, if you're challenged by anything, he says, come to me. If you're laboring, if you're, you know, whatever it is, he says, I will give you rest. you should take my yoke upon you, and I will and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's a song that says that, you know, the Lord our God, in him we stand, a shelter in the time of storm, a shade by night, secure by day. It's, you know, that Jesus is a rock in a weary land. Whatever we might be going through, we have Jesus Christ that we can go to. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So that when the Lord gives you rest, things begin to work out for your good. When the Lord gives you rest, oppositions are kept at bay. Things will work out for your good. Challenges will be far from you. You know, the Bible says that when a man's ways pleases the Lord, that even his enemies will be at peace with him. So when you have rest, things are just, you know, they're smooth. Praise the Lord. One of the people that experienced such rest, Solomon. Now you think about, actually, there are a few people in the scriptures. Solomon is one. When David, his father, became king, it was one battle after the other. He was one, even before David became king, I mean, he was chased all over the nation by Saul, trying to kill him. He did not enjoy any rest. David literally fought battles all the days of his life. But then we see the case of Solomon, 1 Kings 5:4. He says, but now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. Some versions say that there are no oppositions. When God gives you rest, and the Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? It's not that people will not try. Folks will try. But then because God has given you rest, it's like he's built a hedge around you that cannot be penetrated. So you have that invisible barrier that is protecting you around you. So yes, they're trying. But, you know, you're at peace. Praise the Lord. I mean, the children of Israel also experienced the same rest. If we look at Joshua, when they were, you know, going into the land, Joshua 21:44 says, and the Lord gave them rest, Joshua 21:44, and the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. No one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. When God gives you rest, and the Lord Jesus, he gives rest, says no one of all the enemies, no one of all the people that will try to antagonize you, no one of all the people that will try to, you know, be a force against you can stand before you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the Lord gives you rest, things work out for your good. Oppositions are kept at bay. No one can stand before you. Amen. Now, so the Lord gives, you know, eternal life. The Lord Jesus, the gift that keeps giving. He's giving you eternal life. But it didn't stop there. Even while here on earth, you enjoy rest. Now, another thing the Lord gives that is pretty much synonymous with rest is peace. He gives you peace. So rest is synonymous with peace. Let's look at John chapter 14. John 14, verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. So you can get peace from all places. You can get temporary respites. Even the devil, you know, the devil knows how to, you know, give, in quote, peace. But it's, you know, it's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit because when the devil gives something, he throws in something else. But you want true peace, you need to look to the Lord. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Philippians 4:7 tells us that we shouldn't be anxious about anything. Don't get anxious. Don't get worried. It says, take it to him in prayer and supplication, and that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, all surpassing peace, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That is the kind of peace that the Lord gives. I don't know if you've been in a position where you've really, really been troubled. You've really, really been concerned. How can I describe this? When you have a burn, and you put, is that an ice pack? You put an ice pack on it. Let's say you're ironing and you get a burn, and you put your hand on the cold water. It feels, you know, there's respite. The stinging goes away. You feel cool. You feel, you know, it's not so bad. The peace that passes all understanding, all transcendent peace, that we can't make sense of. You know, when things are going wrong and you're just like, it is well. That's the kind of peace Jesus Christ gives. Think about that rich woman. Her son died. And they said, is all well with you? And she said, it is well. So I'm not fazed. I'm not moved. Things might go wrong, but the kind of peace Jesus Christ gives is the one that will make you unfazed, even in the midst of troubles. There's that song I love so much. I said, peace when trouble blows, Jehovah sees, Jehovah knows. He's my peace when sorrow nears. Jehovah takes, Jehovah gives. Gives me peace when troubles blow. Jehovah sees, Jehovah knows. Yes, he knows. There's nothing that is hidden from the Lord. And he's the one that gives that peace. When, you know, in the, how turbulent, how challenging can it be? He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Is it in the workplace? Someone is being a pain to you. I'll share a testimony with you guys. I had an interesting situation whereby someone made a complaint. Made a complaint against me. And everybody kept asking me, are you okay? Are you well? Are you okay? And I was like, I'm not fazed. I know that, you know, the Bible says, greater is he that is with us than he that is with them. Right? There's a song that I've been listening to recently. My wife loves that song so much. It says, I'm surrounded. I can't remember how good, but I'm surrounded by you. You're in relation to.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It's a lovely song. It says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm actually surrounded by you. Remember the story of Elisha and Gehazi when it was like, oh, you know what? There's so many, oh, the armies, they've come. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. And he realized that even though there were enemies all around, there was a host, you know, a army of the Lord surrounding them. That song said, it may look like you're surrounded, but who is actually surrounding you? You're the apple of God's eye. So if anyone wants to get at you, what do they have to do first? They need to get at God, because your life is hid in Christ, in God, in Christ Jesus. So for them to get at you, they have to get at God. They have to get at Jesus Christ. If anyone can do that, hey, then they might as well get at me. But they can't. So even though it looks like you're surrounded by God. You're kept in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the point is, I was like, I'm unfazed. And people were, they were surprised. They kept asking, are you sure? Are you okay? Are you okay? I'm thinking, maybe it's a Caucasian thing. Maybe some of us, our skins are thicker than, you know. But I was like, I'm unfazed. Let God fight your battle. You know, just leave it to the Lord and hold your peace. Hold your peace and let God deal with all things. And you'll be surprised how God comes around for you. This, you know, it causes all things to work together for our good. I think in due course, I'll share that testimony in full. Praise the Lord. When the Lord gives you peace, there'll be no cause for anxiety. There'll be no reason to fear. Because don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Because I've got it in control. Amen. So the Lord gives you eternal life. He gives you rest. He gives you peace. But is that all? You know, in John 4, if you read that whole chapter, Jesus Christ says something profound there. He said that God is spirit. And that the time has come for those who worship God to worship him in what? To worship him in spirit and in truth. That is what God expects. And you know, most of us are like, you know, the worshiper in us wants to break free. Right? We want the worshiper in us to break free, because that's what God is looking for. People that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Oh, the worshiper in me wants to be. You know, I thank God for Amazing Grace Parish, because I always say we're worshipers in spirit and in truth. We're worshipers indeed. Amen. Jesus Christ said that in this world we'll have tribulation, but we should be of good cheer, because he has overcome. The fact is, our destination as believers is eternity, right? That's our ultimate goal. But some of us will spend 80, 90, if Christ tarries, 100, 110, 120, if you want, 130, if you say so, 140. Mm-hmm. But all that is nothing in comparison to eternity. Yet, we're still here for decades, many decades. Amen. What are we doing while we're here? While we're waiting to go to heaven, what are we meant to be doing? How do we comport ourselves? What do we do? I always say this, if God had no plans for us, then once we're saved, he might as well just take us home. So if he had no plans, for us on earth. So once you gave your life to Christ, he could as well just take you home. Once I gave my life to Christ, he could as well have taken me home. But we have assignments, praise the Lord. And that does not exclude any of us. It's each and every one of us. There's something that God wants of us, that he wants us to do. There's a task that is given you. There's a task that is given me. There's work to be done. Amen. He's given us authority. Praise the Lord. He's given us both spiritual authority and physical authority. In Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." He has given you authority over snakes and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing will injure you. So you have authority to walk, you know, physical authority. Snake bites, no impact. Matthew 16:19 says he will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So you have authority. You have authority in heaven. You have authority here on earth. I particularly like the way the Amplified Version puts that, Matthew 16:19. It says, "I will give you the keys, the authority of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven." Praise the Lord. The spiritual precedes the physical. So you deal with things in the spirit and you see the physical manifestations. Praise the Lord. He said he's giving you authority. Authority to bind, authority to loose. What are you binding? What are you loosing? Authority to heal. Authority to cleanse from sickness, from diseases. Matthew 10:1 says Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. The question is, are we walking in that authority? When was the last time we prayed concerning a particular thing and prayed in faith, believing that, you know, I can make the pronouncement? The authority has been given to me. It's delegated power. Power is given to you. So I can empower someone to do something. That is what Jesus Christ is saying. That he has given you the authority, even though you didn't have it before. But by virtue of him saying it, then you can go and be his representative. You can make a pronouncement. You can decree something, and it stands. Because you have the authority as a child of God. It is a gift that is given to you. Are you using that gift? You can speak concerning your situation and say, you know what, Lord, this is what your word says. I can bind, I can halt, but I can release. So the things that need to be loosed, am I loosening them? The physical manifestations that I want, am I seeing them? If not, what am I doing about it? You know, something like, Lord, Lord, do, Lord, do, Lord, do, Lord, do. But Lord is saying that you already, the power is in your mouth. So what are you doing with the power that is in your mouth? Are you constantly waiting, oh Lord, come from heaven and make it happen? Has he not given you the word to speak? I always, you know, I love the the story about Elijah and Ahab. You know, when Elijah was going to say, he said that, you know, by my word, there'll be no rain. And the Bible says there wasn't any rain for the space of 3 years, depending on three and a half years. There was no rain. But how can someone come and say, by my word? And you're thinking, who is he? But he's a representative of God. And he had the authority. He knew the mind of God. He could speak the mind of God. We have the same authority. So we can... I pray God will help us. Amen. Elijah had his failings, but God was with him. But he had the authority to speak the word of God, and God backed his word. Because it wasn't Elijah's word. It was God's word that he was speaking. And if God says, I've given you authority to make pronouncement, to do things, are you doing them? He says, I've given you authority to bind. I've given you authority to heal the sick. I've given you authority to, you know, over unclean spirits, to cast them out. Are you doing that? Or you think, oh, you know, that's old-time religion, where in this day and age of NHS, you know, pretty much everything is sorted. Jesus said, all power belongs to me. There are powers, there are principalities, there are powers, but all power belongs to the Lord. Amen. And he's giving you authority over those powers, over those principalities. He's giving you authority to bind and to loose. I pray that God will help us to use our authority. Amen. The fifth gift, Jesus Christ, the gift that keeps giving, wisdom and understanding. So that we know many things, but the question is this. What do you do with what you know? We know many things, but what do you do with what you know? When I was thinking about this gift, I was trying to understand wisdom. I said wisdom and understanding. But three words, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And I was asking myself, what's the difference? What's the difference? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. I always say this, see, English is a limited language. The first thing I did was to translate those three phrases in the second language I speak, Yoruba. And I thought to myself, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Ogbon imo oye. There's a difference between knowing something, having a knowledge of something. That knowledge, what do you do with that knowledge? How do you apply the knowledge you have? That is wisdom. Where does understanding fit in? Insight. Insight. You can apply something. You can apply the knowledge you have in a wise way. But think about the outcome and the implications of the application. What insight, what revelation have you gained from that instance, from that word? That is understanding. Praise the Lord. So that wisdom, it gives wisdom to make you smarter than your opponents. He gives you wisdom to make you smarter than those who will oppose you, than those who will rise against you. Luke 21:15. It says, for I will give you utterance and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. I'll give you utterance and wisdom, which no one will be able to stand against. When you trust in him, he gives wisdom. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That you should trust in Him with all your heart, not leaning on your understanding. But if you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will direct your path. And this Jesus Christ we're talking about is the power and the wisdom of God. He Himself is the power and the wisdom of God. So when you accept Him, when you yield to Him, He gives you such wisdom, He gives you such insight that whatever the situation, whatever the challenge, you're able to prevail. Amen. The gift that keeps giving. He says those who come to Him, He will not cast out. He came, in a couple of weeks we're going to be celebrating Easter. He came, He died for the sin of the world. He rose again. And the Bible tells us He's seated at the right hand of the Father. What is He doing there? He's interceding continually for us. So He's constantly making a case for you, for me. The gift did not end some 2,000 plus years ago. That gift is still given because on a daily basis, every moment He's speaking for you, He's speaking for me. Shall we rise to our feet?